Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Okay, we have learned that our faith is based on what God says. Our faith is based on what the Bible says, not on our feelings, not on our observation or symptoms or circumstances. So that's why we need to study the Word of God, we need to know the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, we cannot blame God. We already have the Bible to read. It's like this, if I come to America and get out of the airplane, then I drive 75 miles an hour on I-5 and the police caught me and I say, oh, I'm sorry, I just came from Taiwan. I did not know the law here. I just came from Japan. I did not know the law here. You know, the police will not care because he say you live in America, you need to know the law of this nation. So the same thing, it's our responsibility to know the Word of God. And then, after we know the Word of God, we can put our faith on the Word of God and walk accordingly. I give you an example, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 to 6. How many people have faced trouble before, have faced difficulty in life? And when you face difficulty, sometimes you want to give up, you want to just throw a towel and say, oh, I don't make it. But look at what the Bible says here. So he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is what the Word of God said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So the writer of Hebrews say, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Why? The writer of Hebrews can say that because he knew the Old Testament. The Old Testament say in the book of Deuteronomy that God said, I will never leave you. When the children of Israel walk out of Egypt into the wilderness, God spoke to the servant of God that, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go before you. You see, and that is the promise of God to the children of Abraham, children of Israel. And we are children of Abraham by faith. So the same promise that God will never leave us, never forsake us, is in the Bible. So whenever we face difficulty, we can claim, we can boldly say, God is my helper. I will not fear. You know, a lot of times you see that many Christians in the world say something like this. Well, the Lord has forsaken me. He forget about me now. I've been praying for a long time. I don't feel like He is with me anymore. I don't feel like He is with me anymore. Is that the right way to say according to the Bible? You know, the person who say like that go by feeling. I don't feel like God is with me anymore. So don't go by your feeling. Your feeling doesn't have anything to do whatsoever with what the Bible says. You need to go with what the Word of God says. Don't go by the feeling. Feeling must be the last thing in your life. The Word comes first. If you compare to a train, the first one, the one locomotive, train with the engine is the Word. And the second one is faith. And the feeling is the last to follow. Feeling must come after faith. Faith comes after the Word. Let me repeat one more time. Faith and the Word. Faith on the Word and the feeling will follow. A lot of Christians go by feeling and then faith and the Word. That's why they go into a shipwreck of their faith. So we need to go stick to the Word of God. which some a lot of people boldly declare like this. Oh, the devil get on me now. Oh, I'm whipped. I am defeated. I'm in trouble. Now people like to say something like this. Say something that opposite to the Bible. But we need to understand that the Bible never teaches to say that. The Bible says, we boldly declare the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I can do all things through Him who strengthened me. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. You can say, I am more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You can say that by His stripes I am healed. You can say that the Lord is my strength. Psalm chapter 27 verse 1. You can say that God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. You say, if you can boldly say, now let me share this. This is the problem. You know this one thing that you usually say what is in your heart. Is that right? So, and your heart, whatever you say, come from your faith. A lot of people believe in failure, so they always seek failure. And that is not only about you. You know, this is very important attitude for the pastor, leader in the church. If I keep looking at, for example, I keep looking at Makoto-san, Makoto-chan, and my faith in him is this. This man will never make it. This man will never make it. He will never become a good Christian. You know what I'm going to say and what I'm going to look at him? I'm going to always look at him and say about him, oh, he's not a good member. So you know what happened? I curse him. You see what I mean? Because my faith go that negative direction. And this is applied to parents. So you know, my son has some difficulty reading. But every time I look at his face, he always asks me, why do you look at me? Because when I look at him, I look at God. He will be a great man of God. He will read, he will preach the word, he's going to read the Bible, he's going to be fine. You know, I look by faith. And I will say by faith, I'm going to say what I believe in my heart. Now, you notice one thing that your heart, the thing that you have faith in your heart here, dictate by what you think first. Our life receives information, is that right? Information comes to the nose, comes to the ear, comes to the eyes. And that's why when you go to the hotel, please don't turn on pornography movie. You know, you may think that I can just watch them 5 seconds. I tell you, you are seeking problem.
Amen.
Because
amen.
Even 5 seconds you watch, something jumping through your eyes.
Amen.
Going to your body. You know, the demon come through the open door of your life. There are doors, open door. Eyes, nose, ear,
amen.
And touch your body. And that's why I don't let people lay hands on me easily. I only let the godly man lay hands on me because you can, that by touch you can impart something. So that's why don't even look into back pornography book, because when you look, even 5 seconds you open the door, something to come into your life. You have to be careful. You see what you understand what I'm talking about. Now you have the window. I want to call the door window to come in. And that whatever window to come in, it will affect your thinking first, the first thing. It will affect your thinking. And then after your thinking get, we call stronghold. In the Bible use the word stronghold. Actually a lot of people read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talking about stronghold in the Bible. They think that the devil has some big palace somewhere, big fortress somewhere in the heavenly realm, and he has soldiers with gun, like in the movie called The Three Parts. What is the movie? The Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings. And they have the big palace, big, you know, fortress. No. The devil doesn't have that kind of thing. It's in your brain. His stronghold is in here. He let the negative thing go through your mind and build a stronghold in your mind. And after a while, that stronghold become affecting your heart and become your faith. You see? You believe in it. Because after a while, after you get that for a while, you believe. And once come to your heart, then it will come to your mouth. And then you begin to curse yourself, begin to talk down to yourself. And I want to tell you this, the devil, how many people believe that Jesus has defeated the devil 2,000 years ago?
Amen.
Are you in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
You're in Christ Jesus. If Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago, and you are in Christ Jesus, should you be a victorious person?
Yes.
Yes. Is that right? Because you are in Him. But why so many Christians are defeated? I tell you why. This is the trick of the enemy. The way the enemy can destroy you, there are two main reasons. Not only send the devil to attack, the demon to attack you, but most of one of the most common way that he attacks you is this. He first of all keeps you busy so that you will be ignorant. If tonight you don't come, can you imagine how much you're gonna miss tonight? A lot. How many people sometimes feel that, oh, I don't go to care group tonight? You go home and say, I thank God I come here, I learned a lot, I received so much tonight for my life. But if you miss that, you become ignorant. And do you know, I give you an example today, one lady came into my office. She got into a car accident, she was hit by a car. Like this, hit in the back, and she had back pain, neck pain. And I asked her, why you are employed and no money? She said, because I called the insurance on the other side, the one who hit me, and the man said, I will never pay for you. And she just hang up and then let go. I say, hey, you know, Miss So-and-so, you need a lawyer. You don't know the law. You're ignorant. They must pay for you. Oh, when she said, really? Okay, give me the name of a lawyer. You see, the Lord Jesus is our advocate or our lawyer. The problem that you are defeated, not because Jesus is defeated. Jesus already has victory. But you are defeated because you are ignorant of the Word of God. You don't know the Word. That's why you are deceived. You are taken advantage of by that insurance guy named Satan. Satan is one of the best lawyers in the world. He knows the law. And if you are ignorant, he will go after you. Amen. That's why it's hard for him to get after me. Every time I start to have symptoms, I know my right. My right as a Christian is not to be sick. So I say in Jesus' mighty name, I resist this sickness. By his stripe I'm healed. Bam, gone. I know my right. I have a lawyer. I talk to my lawyer named Jesus. That's why every time you pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is your lawyer. He can deal with the devil for you. You don't need to deal with yourself. You just resist, and Jesus uses his victory. He will pull out his scepter. Stop right now. Don't bother him. He is a good lawyer. Amen. So the second way that the devil can get at you, not only because of your ignorance. That's why be diligent in study the Word of God. Because if you don't know, you are ignorant. And the second reason he can attack you, because he put into you wrong things, wrong thinking, stronghold. If you receive, I give you example like this. And have you ever read the Bible in the book of Galatians? It's interesting. The book of Galatians say like this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You know and understand the word bewitch? How many people know the word witch? Witch means demonic power that control people. That's why I don't want to watch the movie called, what is the name, guy? The movie about witch. For children.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter or something. Because it's a witchcraft movie. So, you know, bewitch means that Galatians as a church? Yes. Can the church be demonized, be witch, be having a wrong thinking in the church? Yes. Before I came to start this church, I was taught by a church that no, there's no healing anymore nowadays. That is bewitched. Stronghold. Lie of the enemy. And because of that thinking that way, that's what they believe and that's what they say. Amen. I have to admit that in the past 15 years in this church, God has cleansed me out of many strongholds in my life. Actually, I just shared on Wednesday. Da turned on the tape of my preaching that was done 10 years ago. And when Dad listened to that sermon, she shook her head. This is not my husband. This is wrong. And she really picked it up right away that I was very immature and I was under stronghold at that time in my thinking. And I didn't even know. But thank God, those who hang around with me long enough, at least I'm a man that the Bible calls tremble at His word, fear God. I try to walk in humility and walk in the fear of God. So every time the Holy Spirit or the Word of God confronted me with something wrong in my stronghold here, that the devil deceived me, I repent right away. What? Let me say this. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong saying. Let me repeat one more time. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong seeing, and then messy life. Right thinking, right believing, right saying, blessing life. So, the first step, what to do? This is how God help us to have the right thinking. You remember Romans chapter 12 verse 2, the Bible says, renewing of your mind. I can read for you, Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? Right thinking. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, how do you renew your mind? Listening to the sermon.
Right.
Listening to the word. Read the word. Right now, I have to admit to you, all the leadership have struggling. I have struggling about our service. Can I share with you quickly? We're going to have a big meeting coming up soon among leadership and elder in the church. Because like this. Okay, we have 45 minutes worship. Everyone love worship and it's important. And then we have offering. And at the time I have preaching already. I have only 40 minutes left. How can I share the word of God fully in 40 minutes? And then we have laying on the pan another half an hour. So end up we have 2.5 hour service, then all the children program, all the workers there start to get struggled because the kids want to come out. And that's one of the reasons we are looking for a bigger church. Because we want to have room for the kids to run around. Actually, I tell you one thing that we are checking with the Mercer Island City of Mercer Island to build a house here. Not to stay, not to leave, build a house, but so that we can put the children there, they can play, they have room to run around, they don't need to be stuck in a small room. But by the grace of God, hopefully we can do it. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that we are struggling with time because I myself as a pastor, I know that you have only 52 Sundays a week. If I preach to you half an hour, how can I renew your mind? And that's one of the reasons we have a videotape right now recording, because what? Now we're going to produce all the lesson into DVD. So if you can have the DVD machine, you can sit in a plane in the car and you watch and listen. So you can renew your mind all the time. After you have the right thinking, second way that God deals with us is to come into our spirit directly by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need revival. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in with the fire of God, when people lay hand on you like that, when I lay hand on you and the fire of God touch you, they come deep inside and begin to dig out the rats and the scorpion and the bad thing out of you. So it opens up your spirit for the new mind, the renewed and transformed mind to hook up to your spirit. And then you're going to have the right believing. After you have the right believing, you have the right saying. And after you have the right saying, then you shall be blessed. Amen. I'm going to show you in the scripture a few minutes ago why right saying is so important, okay, at the end of this class. You're going to see it. Okay, make sure you diligently get into the right thinking through the Word of God, renewing your mind. Guard your heart with all diligence. Let the Holy Spirit touch you to get rid of all the junk out of you. Fill your life up with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God until your faith will be in line with the Word. And after that, you will have the right saying, and then your life will never be the same. I tell you, you're going to walk like Jesus. Lots of power, lots of supernatural, lots of signs and wonders because you have the right saying and right thinking. This is a big missing in the body of Christ right now. Amen. I tell you, this class is so important. Very important for believers. Because a lot of believers in the world, most of them don't know this lesson, don't understand this principle. Amen. So, if you can do that, if you can have the right thinking, right believing, right saying, what can happen to your life? Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, "For we who have believed do enter that rest." Why many Christians are so worried, cannot sleep, depressed, feel defeated all the time, feel bad all the time, they cannot rest? Go back, wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong saying, get into trouble, and that is why they cannot rest. But if you have a life of right thinking, right believing, right saying, have faith in here, you can rest every single day. I tell you, I never go to work each day with the fear that I will not have income or I will be in trouble. Every morning I wake up and restfully say, "God, you are my helper. Today is going to be a productive day for me. Today you're going to remind me of things that I need to know. I trust you, I have faith in you, my thinking in line with the Word of God, my confession is in line with the Word of God, so every single day is a restful day for me. I don't need to worry too much." Amen? You don't need to live in, and then if you don't worry too much, then you don't get peptic ulcer. You don't get headache. You don't get hypertension. You don't get a lot of sickness that come from just worry alone. Amen? Right saying, "My blood will be fine, blood sugar will come down. In Jesus' mighty name, it's down. It's forever been down 2,000 years ago. By the power of God." Amen? It's been down. Not it will, it has been down on the cross 2,000 years ago. You say the right thing. So let me repeat one more time. Real biblical faith is built on the Word of God. Not on your feelings. Amen? That's why you need to take the Word of God. You need to learn the Word of God. You need to take serious of the Word of God. Thank God for the CD. Thank God for the DVD. Thank God for the audio tape. You can go back and listen again and again. I can ask you to go to my car right now. Look at my car. I have about maybe 50 tapes in my car right now.
Glory to God.
I listen a lot. All this year I listen to thousands of tapes. I'm really hungry for the Word of God.
Praise God.
Amen. I love the Word of God. And I keep partaking, keep eating the Word of God. Because I know it's good for me. So I change my thinking, I change my believing, and my life will be productive and fruitful, not defeated. Amen. Now look at the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The definition of faith is that faith is of the Spirit. Actually, the Bible even called the faith of God. Do you know that faith is not your own faith? Faith comes from God.
Amen.
God is the one who imparts faith into you. The first day when Brad walked out to accept Christ is done by the Spirit of God. You remember when Peter comes and say, "Oh, you are Lord, and you are Lord, and you are the Messiah." You remember what Jesus said to Peter? "This is not from your flesh and your blood and your bone. You confess this because the Father revealed to you." In other words, the Father gave faith to him to believe in Jesus. So the same thing, and that's why I love the Holy Spirit. In our service, I want to bring the Holy Spirit into the room. I want to invite him to come. You know why? Because I'm not the one who gave faith to you. If he show up, he gave faith to you. And then you accept Christ. Last Sunday, two Taiwanese lady accept Christ. Not because of me, because of the Holy Spirit moving in the church. You see? So the faith dropped into their heart, they want to accept Christ. Faith is the faith of God. Amen? This faith of God, which is of the spiritual realm, injected into your heart by the word of God, through the word of God. And that faith will produce substance. Substance is something you can grab of things you hope for. Amen? Okay. I give you an example like this. My hope is that my son one day will become mighty, my daughter and my son, will serve the Lord. One day I'm going to sit there and listen to my son and my daughter preaching the word of God. That's my hope. Then after that, I will bring that hope into substance through faith. Okay, we're going to learn about hope and faith in a few minutes here. But faith is the thing that will bring those hope into substance. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, you can see again that the faith must come before what you see. If you see already, you don't need to have faith. You see what I mean? If you already see the circumstance, you don't need to have faith. It's evident, clear. But faith, this is a formula. Faith before you see. Faith before substance. If you put the formula upside down like this, it's not the biblical faith. Oh, I need to see first. I need to see substance first and then I believe. That is Thomas' faith. You need to have Abraham faith. I have faith first, then I see the outcome. You see what I mean? Okay. So, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. The Bible says now faith is. You notice that? Now faith is. The Bible tries to emphasize this. That faith is of now. The present tense. It is about now. Why is about now? Very simple. God has already given the promise. Jesus on the cross already has done his job. It's done deal. All the promises of God, all the blessing that come to you through the promise of God in the Bible, already been done and purchased by the blood of Jesus. So in other words, if I already went to buy a gift for William, so I have a gift for you for your birthday, and I ready to give to you, I already hand to you. Is it now? Is that right? It's already been purchased. The blessing already been purchased. All the promise of God has done on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's already done deal, already finished. So when you come to God by through faith, I want to compare faith like a hand. You reach out to God to receive anything from God or appropriate any promise of God from him through faith. Faith is like a hand grab. So you need to believe that I have it now. I receive now. It's already been handed to me. What I need to do is to put my hand up by faith, receive now. You see what I mean? I'm going to show you the scripture. How many people remember Mark chapter 11 verse 24? I read one more time. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them. Can you put it up? Mark 11, 24. It's already read a while ago. You go back. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you are going to receive them. What is that tense?
Present tense.
You receive already. You receive now. Is that right? Not you will. Not you are going. Then and you will have. Receiving is now. Having come later on. Don't flip the formula, okay? Don't flip it. Don't say receiving, having, and then receive. You need to receive first by faith. And that is present tense. Let's say at the same time, present tense. Faith is now.
Faith is now.
Amen. So, this principle is applied to everything in your life about receiving from God through the promise of God. Now, what is the difference between faith and hope? Hope is the future. I'm not talking about human hope. I'm talking about biblical hope. The Bible talks about biblical hope. One day I'm going to sit there and listen to my son and my daughter preaching the word of God. That's my hope. Then after that, I will bring that hope into substance through faith. Okay, we're going to learn about hope and faith in a few minutes here. But faith is the thing that will bring those hope into substance. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, you can see again that the faith must come before what you see. If you see already, you don't need to have faith. You see what I mean? If you already see the circumstance, you don't need to have faith. It's evident, clear. But faith, this is a formula. Faith before you see. Faith before substance. If you put the formula upside down like this, it's not the biblical faith. Oh, I need to see first. I need to see substance first and then I believe. That is Thomas' faith. You need to have Abraham faith. I have faith first, then I see the outcome. You see what I mean? Okay. So, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. The Bible says now faith is. You notice that? Now faith is. The Bible tries to emphasize this. That faith is of now. The present tense. It is about now. Why is it about now? Very simple. God has already given the promise. Jesus on the cross already has done his job. It's done deal. All the promises of God, all the blessing that come to you through the promise of God in the Bible, already been done and purchased by the blood of Jesus. So in other words, if I already went to buy a gift for William, so I have a gift for you for your birthday, and I ready to give to you, I already hand to you. Is it now? Is that right? It's already been purchased. The blessing already been purchased. All the promise of God has done on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's already done deal, already finished. So when you come to God by through faith, I want to compare faith like a hand. You reach out to God to receive anything from God or appropriate any promise of God from Him through faith. Faith is like a hand grab. So you need to believe that I have it now. I receive now. It's already been handed to me. What I need to do is to put my hand up by faith, receive now. You see what I mean? I'm going to show you the scripture. How many people remember Mark chapter 11 verse 24? I read one more time. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them. No. Can you put it up? Mark 11, 24. I already read a while ago. You go back. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you are going to receive them. What is that tense?
Present
tense. You receive already. You receive now. Is that right? Not you will. Not you are going. Them and you will have. Receiving is now. Having come later on. Don't flip the formula, okay? Don't flip it. Don't say receiving, having, and then receive. You need to receive first by faith. And that is present tense. Let's say at the same time, present tense. Faith is now.
Faith is now.
Amen. So, this principle is applied to everything in your life about receiving from God through the promise of God. Now, What is the difference between faith and hope? Hope is the future. I'm not talking about human hope. I'm talking about biblical hope. The Bible talks about biblical hope. Physical body here, so we are not perfect yet. But if you ask me, is it perfect view that we will stay healthy until the last day of our life? Yes. Amen and amen. Yes. Amen. Is it God's perfect will that we are in a good church? Yes. You don't have to pray that, oh, okay, maybe I should go to some church close to my home. Jump in out of my bed and get into the church next door. But if I don't grow, it's okay. No, that's not perfect will of God. Perfect will of God is that you are in a good church. Amen. So it's clear. Anything in the Bible is clear that it's a perfect will of God. You can pray specifically like that. Amen. Now, so if you don't get the answer from God, what you do? You change. Don't blame God. Please. You look at yourself. Maybe you don't get the answer because you sin. The Bible says sin separates us from God. Maybe you haven't forgiven somebody. You remember one part of the Bible? The Bible says in I think the book of Matthew say that before you come to the altar and come to me, you need to go back and reconcile. First, reconcile with people that you are offended or you have problem with. Sometimes you don't get the answer to your prayer because you still get mad at somebody in the church. Maybe because you are still upset or have resentment or bitterness against somebody. You may need to get rid of that first. Forgive them. Amen. So there's so many things you need to change. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let me ask this question. Is hope important? Hope is important. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I hope I have enough time. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, the Bible talks about three things. Actually, I'm going to write a lesson called What Measure the Maturity of a Church? What measure the quality of a local church? A lot of people say big budget. Some people say nice, handsome pastor. Somebody say beautiful carpet. Somebody may say, oh, a lot of mission works. Somebody may say, oh, nice building. A lot of program for youth, a lot of program for young people, a lot of program for single, a lot of program for married couple. Good church. Yeah, wrong. The measurement of the maturity of a local church is not nice program, it's not nice carpet, it's not big budget. Hope, faith, and love. You can have a lot of nice programs in the church. But if people don't love one another in the eyes of God, very immature church. You can have a lot of children program, nice carpet, big building, but if people are not walking by faith in that church, in God's sight, they are immature. Amen?
Yeah.
And another one, hope. Now, are these three important? Why the Bible emphasizes these three? Very important. But what is the most important out of this three?
Love.
Love. Amen. Okay. Because hope and faith will not work without love. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, faith working by love. Every time, do you know that every time I lay hand on you by faith, every time I touch you, and then you know that you may not know, every time I lay hand, I don't just lay hand out of ritual. I lay hand and faith, like, every time, sometimes I shout fire, you know why? Because it builds my own faith. Just have faith that something can happen. But not only I pray by faith, but when I pray, I also love you. I pray out of love. Not out of showmanship or try to show that I'm a godly, anointed man. No. I pray for people because I love them.
Amen.
Because God loves them. God wants to set them free. God wants to heal them. God wants to bless them. I want to bless people because I love people. I need to operate in love. And that faith will work when I walk in love. Amen. Now, let's talk about hope a little bit. Hope is about the future. I'm not talking about, I hope that I will get married one day. That is not the hope that I'm talking about. We're talking about biblical spiritual hope. What is this biblical spiritual hope? We call blessed hope. The Bible talks about hope. Before I share about hope, I want to say one thing. Hope is about the future, and your faith cannot change that hope. I know this some island. What is talking about? Your faith cannot change the day of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of the church. Is that right? Are you hoping Jesus to come back? Yes. I hope he come back. Because if he doesn't come back, all the things that I do, all these 10 years, 15 years, gonna be like, you know, just human thing. I want him to come back so I can stay with him in heaven forever. I don't want to be like this forever. I want to one day just rest with him in heaven. Our hope, the hope of the church is that one day we will have a glorious body and live in heaven forever. My hope is one day I will live forever in heaven with Da and Pastor Caesar and Nali and Stacy and Sean and Bo Ink and Brad and Heather and Rochelle and Estella and Elf and Mary and Yao and Mrs. and Mr. and Dr. Chi forever. I will be with my loved one in heaven forever. That's my hope.
Hallelujah.
My hope is that one day Jesus will come in the sky and pick me up out of this world. One day my hope is that I will not get sick anymore but live in heaven without tears and cry and sickness. That's my hope. All this hope is in the future. Amen. Why is it so important to have hope? You wonder why the Bible says hope is important? Faith, hope, and love. Why? I show you the scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Ooh. Hope brings the fear of God. Make your life pure. Why? I don't know how many times in your life that you were thinking, pondering that you're going to stand before Jesus at his throne one day. Is that the future? Is that hope? I hope that one day, I'm serious, this is serious. I hope that one day I will stand, I'm going to walk up the stadium to Jesus who sits on the throne, and I will stand before him. And everyone going to have to do that. You too. Everyone. Jody too. Ben too. You will walk up to his throne and he will either say, good and faithful servant, this is my crown of righteousness. My crown of life for you. My rewards for you. Good. Tama. I don't want that day I stand before Jesus and say, Pastor, you know, you do this for money. I tell you to do this, you never obey me. You are very stubborn. You always disobey me. You live your life for yourself. You don't live your life for the kingdom of God. You don't use your money, your time. Your decision always selfish for yourself. Okay? You pass by the fire. You don't go to hell. Go to heaven. Bye. Get up there. No rewards. That's why the hope of the second coming of Jesus, the hope of standing before the judgment seat of Jesus, the hope of being in heaven and receive reward from heaven, make me fear God and purify me. I don't want to sin. I don't want to play game with God. I dare not. I dare not. Because I fear God. Because I know one day I can be goofy. I can cheat my pastor, I can sneak behind his back and he doesn't know that that day I do something, he is at his home, or man in the church, like in, I say like a Thai people, man, in the church, you know, oh, act holy, like this, oh, sing song, jump up and down, you see, I'm so holy, but you get home, you are like a devil, you just like your wife, you just keep your kids and do. You know, you can cheat anything, but you cannot cheat God. You cannot lie to God. God knows everything that you do in your life. And one day, I tell you, you're going to stand before God.
Amen. Amen.
And I know this, and I believe this, I believe in this hope. I'm not going to play game with God. I'm going to live my life fully for Jesus. I'm going to keep my heart pure, because even though no one can see my heart, but God see my heart. I cannot lie to God. I can pretend to look like holy in front of you, but behind your back, I look like a wicked man inside. I can cheat you for a while, but God knows. And when I get to the throne of God, I will miss the reward. And not only that, maybe I go to heaven, because I'm not a born again Christian. You know why the Bible says not everyone who say Lord, Lord, and cast out demons and heal the sick can go into the heaven, because you practice. Lawlessness, the Bible says. You know what the word practice means? In medical field, we call you practice medicine. Practice means you keep doing something repeatedly as your lifestyle. Yeah. I practice medicine. Every single day I see patients, I do this as my lifestyle as a doctor. Practice. Some Christian play game with God on Sunday. Act very holy. Yes, Pastor. Yeah, I repent. Yeah, okay, I listen to you, but inside, yeah. Inside, when you're gonna stop saying that? I don't like to hear this. Maybe you can say anything you want, but God knows. That's why I want to be a genuine Christian. I don't want to play game. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because I will stand before God one day. And you know, that day, that's gonna help me. Pastor Caesar cannot help me. El cannot help me. I stand before God myself. I cannot blame my pastor. I cannot blame anyone. I am responsible for my own life and my own decision. That's why the hope of meeting Jesus purifies the church. And if the church don't talk about the second coming of Jesus, don't talk about the judgment seat of Jesus, we gonna play game with God all the time. That's why I need to talk about this off and on.
Amen.
It's serious.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Very serious. This hope. Don't play game with God. Amen?
Amen.
Hope is about the future. Let's come back to faith. I think I go into the heavy issue too long now. A lot of people feel uncomfortable now. Let's come back to faith. Amen. Hope is this. If you have hope, you will say like this. I believe I'm going to get my healing sometimes. I am going sometimes. That is hope. And I want to tell you like this. Hope will not help you to get answer for your prayer. You must go by faith. And faith will be like this. This is what the word of God says. By his stripes I am healed. I believe it. God say that. I receive it now. It doesn't matter how I feel in my body, in my symptom. I receive, I believe in my heart. I am healed now. In Jesus' name. Done. That's faith. Wow. Seem tough, man. It's not easy. That's why we need to come to the faith class to learn to hear this. So you get into your spirit, get into your mind.
Amen.
Keep listening, keep hearing until it becomes the part of your life. Amen. Faith say like this, it's mine, I have it now. Hope say, I will get it sometimes. It's a big difference. Amen?
Yeah.
I want to say one thing again to repeat. You cannot believe beyond your knowledge. Let me repeat one more time. You cannot believe in something beyond your knowledge. If you don't know about healing, you cannot believe in healing. If you don't know about revival, you cannot get into revival. You don't know that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you will not be speaking in tongues. Because you cannot believe in something you don't know. And that's why I keep asking one sister that I know in this city that, please get out of that church and come to the church and believe in the Holy Spirit. Because you keep sitting there, you will never get filled with the Holy Spirit. Never. Because they never teach you. You will never be able to believe something beyond what you understand. That's why I want to tell you this. In serving God, you cannot just have only the anointing. You need to know the Word of God. Because your anointing can only flow to the level you know. You understand what I'm talking about? You cannot go beyond the level you know. Why this year I can minister at a higher anointing and higher resolve? Because I know more than last year. I study the Word of God every single day, all the time, consistently. I study the Word of God. I'm going to fly to Bangkok. I already prepared a few books in my briefcase. I'm ready to go with books and study the Bible on the airplane. I already put it in my briefcase. I know what I'm going to read on the airplane. I plan to study the Word of God. When I go to Bangkok, I will sit. I'm not going to waste my time. I will study the Word of God during the day. Amen. Again, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Present tense. Believe that you receive now and you will. The answer come. Maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, maybe 1 day. It doesn't matter. You believe. I believe that my children will be mighty in the land. They're mighty in the spirit. I'm not talking about being a soldier. Mighty in the land, because that's what the Bible says. The man who fear God, his descendant will be mighty in the land. In the book of Psalm chapter 25. I claim that promise of God. I believe in it. And I believe my children will serve God and be mighty in the land. I don't see it now, but I believe already done. It's done deal. Joy, Tanita, and Paul will be mighty in the land to serve the living God. I have faith fully. Because I am the man who fear the Lord. Amen? Faith is not controlled by sight. It's not controlled by feeling. Don't go by what you see. Go by what the Word of God says. You will never receive anything from God by using hope. Because it's about the future. Using faith. This is the work of the enemy. What the enemy tried to do to you. The enemy tried to put doubt into you. Because he know that in order to receive miracle, you need to go by faith. So he's going to try to throw doubt to you all the time. You remember the first thing that the devil tried to deceive Eve is to put doubt. Are you sure God said that? You remember Genesis chapter 3? That's what the devil said to Eve. Are you sure God said that? Who? Doubt now. Maybe God is wrong. Maybe the Bible is wrong. Maybe what God says is wrong. Don't do that. That's why it's so important to be around the man and the woman of faith. Amen. If you hang around doubtful people, you will be doubtful like them. They're going to inject you one another with the doubt. But if you are around people of faith, you're going to be full of faith. Amen. Hang around with Pastor Damo. He's a woman of faith. Amen. That's why I have a lot of faith, because I hang around her. Amen. He is a liar, the devil. He's going to lie to you. He's going to make you doubt. He's going to make you question God. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. Don't listen to those voices. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Now, in real faith, you need to take a step of action. Amen. And we're going to talk about that here. Let me ask this question. You say right or wrong? My sentence, okay, I'm going to test you. I sure hope that God will help me. Okay. God, I want to be healed. This is a tricky question. God, I want to be healed.
I am healed.
You think you get things from God by your wanting? By what?
Faith.
So you just say, I believe I am healed, not by wanting. Okay, let me ask another question. I believe I am going to get my answer one of these days.
That's doubt.
Wrong. Amen. How about this? I believe that God has answered me. He's done. Thank God for the answer.
Right.
That is right. Okay. So I just want to test you whether what kind of sentence, you know. And you come to the prayer line and I just lay hand on you and that day you turn to me, thank you, Pastor. I believe I will be healed. Right or wrong? I believe I will be healed. I am healed. Not I will be. Faith means I receive already now. Amen. Look at Matthew 21 verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, hoping you will receive. Is that right? Do I read it right? Believing. You don't get anything from God by wanting, by hoping, by believing. You must approach God by faith. Faith is a big issue, I tell you, in the Bible. Amen? So, if you come to the prayer line and you say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And I say, are you sure you want to? Yes, Leanne. So I believe that I will receive Holy Spirit some of these days. I don't want to lay hands on you. Because you already expressed that you don't believe you're going to receive right now. If you want to receive, you need to receive now. Have faith now, not for tomorrow, not for the future. Wow, somebody made eye contact to me. Now, not next week. You receive now. Filled with the Holy Spirit now. Amen. It's about now. Faith is about now. But hope is about future. Let me show you something that will blow your mind. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 8. I'm almost done. I know it's a long night. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Okay, how God saved you? By His grace. And how do you receive that grace of salvation? How? Through what? So what is the hand that go and get the salvation? Faith. Okay. When you read this scripture, how many people, how do you interpret this scripture? I believe that 90% of the people in the room interpret this way. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I don't have to go to hell. I can live with God forever in heaven after I die. My sins are forgiven. Is that right? How many people think that way when you read the scripture? Yes, is that right? I mean, seriously, honestly, when you read this, but for your grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. You think, oh, my sins are forgiven. I go to heaven. I don't need to pay for the penalty of my sin in hell. Amen. Yes, I agree. Nothing wrong. Is that right? Nothing wrong. Okay, you are right. But let me ask this question. Did Jesus die on the cross just to pay for your sin? That's it? No. He died on the cross to remove the curses from your life. He died on the cross to heal your sickness. He died on the cross to make you prosperous. He died on the cross to get rid of curses. He died on the cross to get away the shame from your life and give you glory. All the blessing has been done and given and provided and purchased on the cross. Amen. Why in the world, on the minute you pray, pray that I receive my salvation through faith from the grace of God. You believe at that moment that you will die and go to heaven if you die at that moment. You believe, is that right? You're going to go to heaven. Why is it so easy to believe that? But when it comes to the area of healing, when it comes to the area of receiving the Holy Spirit, why people struggle so much? The same thing from the cross. You use the same faith to receive the same thing that I was healed 2,000 years ago. Jesus died on the cross for me. By His stripes on the cross, I was healed. The same thing. On the cross, Jesus died on the cross, then the well in that room torn into two. And the Holy Spirit came out from the inner room, from the Holy of Holies, and He poured out the Spirit on earth already 2,000 years ago in the upper room. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened 2,000 years ago, and God has not stopped pouring out His Spirit yet. So it's been done. But you receive by through what?
Faith.
It was given to you through by grace, through faith. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Why is it so easy to receive salvation but it's so difficult to receive healing? Because you know why? You go by symptom. You go by what you see. You go by what you feel. That's the problem. We need to stop looking at the symptom, stop looking at the problem, and receive by faith in your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
Wow, this is a tough lesson, huh?
Yeah.
Can you do this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, let me say this. How many people think that faith is of the head? Is, okay, let me ask this question. Is faith of the head or of the heart?
Of the heart.
Of the heart. Faith doesn't belong to your head. Is that right? It belongs to the heart. You remember the Bible say, I read to you in Romans chapter 10 verses 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your head that God has raised Him from the dead. Is that right?
No.
No. Believe in your heart. Faith is of the heart. I know this one thing. In our church, I'm talking about one area receiving the Holy Spirit in revival. I know this in the past 7 years. People who are new, brand new believer, who never grew up in a church, who never have any wrong teaching in their head, like Barry and Dow, or like Hisusu, or like Heather, when they come out to be prayed for revival, to be touched by God, bam! You know why? Because they come out and say, I'm hungry. I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. That's it. I don't think too much. But people who grow up in the church, like some old believer in our church, they get trained that going to church is singing 3 hymns and 3 hers, have an offering for 2 minutes, have an announcement and have a sermon for 15 minutes and go home. And when they come to the church where the Holy Spirit is moving, what is going on here? Their head starts to spin. And they try to analyze God and they try to think about God too much. And they try to, if I go out and then He lay hand on me, start to think, what's going to happen to me? Oh, is it the Bible? I never seen this in my church when I grew up, in my Sunday school. They start to think and analyze with their head. So when they come to the prayer line, they use their head to receive from God. And I can tell from their eyes. When people walk out, I can tell right away that they receive or not. Because I can tell right away, these people come out with the head or with the heart. If they come out with the head, I can notice the body language. Lay hand, okay. Anyone behind? Oh, think a lot. Or somebody even sit in the chair and say, what is he doing? Why is he handling people? You can think like that another 20 years without getting anything from God.
Amen, amen.
And I have to let you know that I'm that type by background because I grew up in evangelical, Baptist, and church that don't believe in revival, didn't believe in revival. And I'm a doctor, I'm very analytic. I'm very analytic. I believe Dr. Chi understands what I'm talking about. Okay? But you know, God crushed me for 7 years in this church to the point that I am so broken and I say, I cannot go on like this. I need God desperately. Sometimes people have to go to be crushed, to be so broken. That's why the Bible says that God is close to those who have a contrite heart and a broken heart.
Amen.
If you still feel so desperate, you feel that I'm gonna chuck my head off. I'm gonna chuck the head of the neurosurgeon off. I'm gonna come to God with my heart. I'm so desperate. Touch me, Lord, today. I need the Holy Spirit badly. Then you get touched by God. Amen. If you keep analyzing, so therefore, when you come to the prayer line, when you receive something from God, I want to tell you, shut your head off.
Amen.
If you keep analyzing, you don't get anything. Because it's about faith of the heart. It's the spiritual thing. It's not the head thing.
Amen. Amen.
Your head is given for you to cross, to walk across the street, to type the computer, to know the mouse to click this and that. But the head is not to use for receiving anything from God. It's the issue of the heart. Here. Oh, heady one. A lot of people don't never learn how to shut the head off. They just use the head more than the heart. That's why they really never see any miracle in their life. Amen. You get the message?
Yes. Yes.
You know, some people, the heart is so open. I give you a sample. Last Sunday night, I was in the care group. And I was praying for this lady who I was casting out demons and lay hand. And then another lady was talking to another person about receiving Holy Spirit. They're just sitting on the couch talking. And then suddenly God told me, okay, you need to speak to this person. Fire. You know, so I started to hear, fire, fire. Suddenly that lady received the Holy Spirit and started to shake and speak in tongues. I didn't even lay hand on her. I was laying hand on her and I turned around, oh, what happened to this lady? Because her heart is so open. When she heard the word fire, she received right away and bam, she got it. She didn't think too much. She's just so hungry, she's just so receptive by her heart, by faith. Amen. Don't think too much. Shut your head off. The fire is in the fireplace, not in the chimney. This is the chimney. This is the fireplace. Get the fire into your heart, not in your chimney. Anyone put the fire in the chimney? No one. Put the fire in the fireplace inside the heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. One last thing I want to share is this. How to turn your faith loose. You already have your faith. You have faith in your heart. You know the faith is in the heart. You believe that you have faith now. You believe that you receive now. But you need to turn it loose. How to turn it loose. It's very important. Okay. Let's look at Mark chapter 11 verse 23. Two things you need to do to turn it loose. How many people want to learn how to turn the faith loose? Okay. Mark 11:23. I need to finish this. This is the last one because otherwise you will miss the one that I teach on Wednesday. So I want to make sure that both groups learn the same thing. For actually I say to you, whoever says, everyone say at the same time, says, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his head. Is that right?
No.
Doubt and faith is in the heart. But believe that those things he says, let's say at the same time, says, he will be done. He will have whatever he says. Let's say at the same time, says. How you turn your faith loose. You remember I said a while ago, right thinking, right believing, right saying. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, just a couple of scriptures before that. Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks in order to turn your bed loose. You need to speak it. And that's why sometimes when I pray for people, you notice that sometimes I don't lay hand. I just go close and say, fire! I speak it by faith. And God knocked them down. I speak by faith. The Bible says the power is in your tongue. You say whatever you believe and it will be done for you. Amen.
Amen.
That's why I say to Dad all the time, you're going to be healthy, you're going to live long, you're going to stay, you're going to be fine. I keep saying good things to my kids, to my wife. I look at my son and my daughter, I say, you're going to be healthy, you'll be fine, you're going to be good student, you're going to finish your college, you will be mighty in the land. I say it's a positive thing. Speak it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lose it by speaking. Number two, lose it by taking action of faith. In Acts chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, when they were preaching the gospel there, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength, paralyzed man, in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. Wow, the condition really bad, huh? Crippled since he was born, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Well, this man has faith to be healed. And then next scripture, it may not be in the computer. I read for you. Verse 10. Paul said in a loud voice. You see, Paul speak. Stand up straight on your feet. And the man just sat there and did nothing. Is that right? No. The Bible says the man leaped and walked. He took action. He got up from the wheelchair. So the same thing. In your faith, you need to take action. Amen. For example, Dr. Chi, the devil may try to tell you that, poor guy, you will not make it. You say, no, I am healed. I can go to church, serve God in church. So on Sunday morning, you wake up and you just take action. You go. Action of faith. I am strong. I can make it. When you step out of the house and take that action, you see, it activates the faith inside your God. So, wow, this man really have faith. He did. He really took action of what he hear, what he believe. Because faith without action is dead.
Yes.
You need to take action. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Take action. Speak it. Take action. Speak it. Take action. Speak to yourself every day. I'm healed. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm anointed. I'm more than conqueror. My family will be fine. My home will be powerful. I and my wife will love one another. We're going to have a beautiful and successful family. My ministry is going to grow. Our church is going to be the bride of Christ. Amen. You speak it. You take action. You learn something tonight?
Yes.
Amen. So this is just chapter number 4 out of 24 chapters. This is just the beginning. This is only basic, okay? Just the beginning of faith. You're going to learn and learn in the next 20 chapters that will come up in the near future. We just finished chapter number 4. You learn something? In conclusion, our faith is based on the Word of God, not on feeling. You get the Word of God into renew your mind, then you have the right thinking, the right believing, the right saying. You need to let the Word of God stay in your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. Keep looking and see yourself in it. Faith is of now, not the future. You believe you receive now. I remember one time in my house, there is a snow day. It's a snow day. And one Japanese student said, I have really bad back pain for many days. So I said to like this group, okay, close your eyes and have this imagination that Jesus already healed you and he is handing a gift to you. and you just receive that gift right now. And she said, okay, I will do it. So we close our eyes and pray together. In Jesus' name, I am healed by His stripes. I receive now. When she opened her eyes, she was healed.
Lord that, God, Lord.
The back pain is gone. This is simple. But the problem is a lot of people cannot do that by faith. They're just thinking too much. Amen. The faith is of the heart, not the head. Believe in your heart. Speak it. Take action. Hope is of the future. You don't get anything from God by hope and by wanting, but by faith. Therefore, you need to study the Bible. You need to keep hearing. Faith come by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Get all the tape. Listen to this teaching again and again. Get the CD, get the tape, everything, and listen. And the faith gonna come. Hope purify you. One day, Victor will stand before Jesus and give an account of your life to Jesus. What you do, how you spend money, how you spend time, how you spend everything in your life, you have to give account to God on the last day. Therefore, hope you purify your life that you will not play game with God anymore. Hope is important. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this class that we learn about faith. And we believe, Lord, that we will all become people of faith. We will, Lord, exercise faith at the right time, at the right way. Lord, help our brothers and sisters in this church, including myself, to have the right thinking, the right believing, and the right saying. Help us to watch our mouth carefully, that we will not say anything negative. We will not say anything against the Bible, but we keep saying in agreement, confessing in agreement of the Word of God. Help us by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Bless everyone in this room, Lord. Oh, Lord. They will see miracles. They will see healing. They will see supernatural things happen in their life, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.